Well, good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
I just wanted to pause real quick and say thank you to everyone who shared last week for our thankfulness service that we had. That was absolutely incredible, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was great on all aspects. Yeah, go ahead. Give it for them. Speaking of thankfulness, I hope you all had a great Thanksgiving with your family, with your friends or whatnot, or hopefully you were able to find a turkey. Apparently that was, I guess they said it was a hard thing. I don't think we really struggled with that here. But if you had that lift, I don't know about you. I love turkey. Don't get me wrong. I love Thanksgiving turkey. But how many here just love the sandwiches that happen with leftover turkey? I had my mom make me her homemade bread ahead of time. I called her. I said, would you please make me some homemade bread? She said, sure, because you're my favorite son. And she made some for her, the other one, too. But man, those leftover turkey sandwiches, something's just magical about those. I am thankful for those. Amen. Well, now that Thanksgiving's over, that has come and passed. You've probably noticed that Christmas music, well, although it's been kind of been played after it seems like they start it earlier and earlier every year. But here we have Christmas music is in full swing. You've probably, I don't know if you went downtown in Arcade and saw the beautiful lights at night that they have. I mean, just exciting. I don't know, maybe for you, you're hanging up lights, or maybe you cut down a tree, or you're like me and my wife, where we just drag it from the basement. We got one of those trees that has the lights on it, you know, the pre-lit lights. Well, the pre-lit lights don't work anymore. So for the last couple of years, I've been just putting new lights on top of the old lights. So this year, my wife and I had the crazy task of cutting them all off, the old one. So it's just a plain fake tree. But hey, you know, it's better than cutting down a tree for us anyway. I do want to say thank you to the Ameses who bought or who went and cut down that tree in the foyer. And thank you to the Yanziks who are going to be decorating it. Can we just give them some... Christmas time is here, and because of that, and since that's happening, we're starting a new series I'd like to introduce to you this morning called The Awe and Wonder of Christmas. If you have your Bibles, if you could turn to me to Luke 2. Luke 2, I won't have it on the screen because it's a little long. Luke chapter 2, this is the story, the Christmas story that this is a portion of it that we've all heard a million times, but hopefully you can find something new in it today. We're going to start on reading on verses 8, and we're going to go to verse 20, Luke 2. It says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest heaven and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Verse 15, when the angels had left and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger, just like they said. When that they had seen him, they started spreading the word concerning what had happened and told about this child. Verse 18, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured these things up and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things that they have heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. So we're going to stay here in Luke 2, so you can just kind of put a bookmark in that if you'd like to. But I'd like to highlight this verse right here, and all who heard were amazed at what the shepherds had said to them. The word here, amazed, comes from a Greek word called thaumazu. Look at your neighbor, say thaumazu. It sounds weird. It's hard to say. It's a Greek word. But this word means to wonder and wonder at or marvel. They were filled with wonder at what the angel had said. They were filled at wonder at looking at Jesus and this whole thing. They are full of wonder, of thaumazu. Some other translations, the New King James uses the word marveled. English Standard does wondered. Amplified says astounded and wondered. Amazed, marveled, wondered, astounded, astonished. I believe that we can all agree that there was an incredible amount of thaumazu or wonder this first Christmas. Have you ever noticed the amount of thaumazu or wonder when it comes to children during Christmas? It's amazing. It's amazing the awe and wonder that they have during the season. Everything is so magical and exciting. It's amazing. They're just so full of joy and wonder, and it's all new. I found some clips online. I want to show you a video clip. I got one special just for you, Luces, wherever you are. But check out this clip. This is kids on Christmas morning opening some gifts. My favorite is, well, do you notice how destructive the boys are? They show that awe and wonder in a totally different way. The girls are just like, yay, sweet and kind, and guys are destroying the gifts that they just got. I love that Nintendo 64 kid, and if you notice the shoe boxes, just amazing how much wonder they have, how much awe they have. But something changes when we get older. That magic of Christmas, that we lose it. And we lose the magic of life in a way. And I don't know, maybe you can remember that when you were a child and that awe and wonder was kind of taken from you. I'm going to speak in code in case there's any kids that didn't go down to kids' church. But when I talk about a chubby, bearded man that smokes a pipe and lives north of Canada, you know who I'm talking about. But do you remember the day you found out the truth about that? I can tell you the day I did. I was on the bus. The bus. A lot of things happened on that bus. I got a lot of stories. I think I was in maybe, I don't know, I was 17 or 18 years old, and no, but I was probably 7 or 8 years old, and I can remember being on the bus and these two twins that rode my bus. Some of you know who I'm talking about. That we'll just leave it to that. Mean boys, and they told me about the truth that he didn't exist, and I can remember first being in denial. That can't be true. That's what my daughter does when I tell her. She's like, no, it's true. I saw him. But there was something that I lost, right? I lost that magic, that awe and wonder. I mean, no longer was I scanning the skies, looking for something. No longer was I thinking I heard something on the roof. I wasn't leaving out milk and cookies anymore. I got to this point where I'm like, I'm just going to trade it in for the boring life of being an adult. I lost that awe and wonder, and I'm sure you have too at certain points. And we know it's important for our children. I mean, that's why we encourage our children in some of these ways with some of it, whether, you know, whatever it could be for you. Maybe it's a tradition you have that you did as a child. But, I mean, even my, you know, it's funny the lengths we go for some of us parents who try to convince our kids that this stuff is true, you know, because we want them to have that awe and wonder. We like that. There's something special about them to be excited about something. And my in-laws, my wife lived in Myrtle Beach, and, you know, they don't have the need for chimneys or stoves in Myrtle Beach, right? So they didn't have any, and, you know, as Jess, as a small kid, would say, Mom, how is he going to get in the house if we don't have a chimney? And my mother-in-law, being a South Carolina woman, would say, he's got a magic key. He's got a magic key, and that's there's no, is there anything more creepy than a bearded jolly man who smokes a pipe and can apparently has no death, can also show up in your house and has a magic key? I mean, that would scare me. But there's something about that they're telling her so that she doesn't lose that awe and magic. What happens is deep down we lose that awe and wonder that's important, and we know that we bought those presents for our children, or we know that there's something important about it, but really we're bored. Things become a chore. Not just Christmas, life becomes a chore. Christmas becomes a chore, and we stop getting excited about things. We stop getting curious about things. We become hard customers of life. It takes a lot to impress us. Even peak experiences, we're like, man, been there, done that. I can remember when we just bought a house last year, you know, that awe and wonder of buying a new house. I've been there. I've done that. And it's funny how you build it up in your mind. I don't know if you've ever done this. I know some people who have gotten some really high degrees in their life, you know, as far as academically. And they're like, once I get that, it's going to be amazing. And then they get it, and they're like, I'm pretty much the same as I was before, just with this degree. Things become dull. Even though we've never done something before, and it happens to us, it feels like it's dull. And then we come here after Thanksgiving, and we start hearing the true story of Christmas. And we hear it, and for many of us, there's no awe. There's no wonder. There's no marveling. There's no amazement. And maybe you're here this morning, and that's you. Maybe you're feeling like that. Maybe you're just feeling like, well, it's just another story. I've heard that. I've been there. I've done that. I believe that God is calling us to recapture the awe and wonder of the Christmas story, this amazing story. I believe that he's trying to call us to a place where we can be in amazement like the shepherds were. So with that being said, I have three practical ways that we can do that, that we can recapture the awe and wonder of the amazing Christmas story of Jesus coming to earth. So with number one, if you're taking notes, write down this, reprioritize. In fact, why don't you look at your neighbor and say, you might need to reprioritize. Come on, ladies, I'm giving you some really good stuff right here. Spouses, come on, this is your opportunity. One of the reasons, one of the many reasons I'm sure, that we lose the awe and wonder of Christmas is because we're just too dang busy. We're too busy. We're running around. We have to order Christmas gifts. We have to pull that stupid tree out of the basement. We have to put up lights on the house, which I did this year and wasn't fun. Maybe for some of you, you're already thinking about the meal that you're going to have to prepare for Christmas, or you have to go to this party, and I got to go to that pageant, and I have to put a stupid elf on a shelf. Whatever the thing is, our lives are being consistently full of doing stuff. No wonder we have no awe and wonder when it comes to the Christmas story. We're just too busy. We have too much going on. Our lives just got, we're this going in here, got to do this, and now there's snow on the ground, I got a shovel. I mean, there are so many things that we have to do. But I want you to notice in this story about the shepherds, when we're reading in Luke 2, it says this, it tells us in verse 8 that these shepherds were keeping watch over their sheep at night. In other words, they were busy. They had a job to do. They had to protect their sheep. That's their job. That's why they're there tending the sheep at night, to make sure that the wolves aren't coming, to make sure whatever, bears, lions, I don't know what it could be, but they have a job, they have a responsibility. And then this angel shows up and says, yo, let me tell you something crazy. And they're like, oh my gosh, oh, what's going on? And they tell them then a whole chorus of them come up and they're talking. I'm like, oh my gosh, it's amazement. And I want you to notice what the shepherds did. In verse 15, it says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Let's go. Come on, let's go. They didn't say, oh, that was cool. Well, I got things to do. They didn't say, well, the sheep need me. Well, they didn't say, well, hey, listen, I got a ham in the oven. I got some gifts to wrap. I can't get over to see the baby Jesus. No, they reprioritized their life to make room for Jesus. They took, listen, are those things a priority? Yes. But now they're shifting and saying, what is the most important thing that we have to do? And that is to see Jesus. Yes, the sheep need to be tended to. I don't know what they did. Maybe they got their cousin Frank, you know? And then he showed up and he was the guy with the drummer boy that we hear about all the time. That's not in the Bible. I don't know. Danny, right? Danny. I got to play Danny in last year's play. Anyway, whatever it could be, they're changing their priorities so that they can make room for Jesus. And it's because they reprioritize their lives that they had the awe and wonder of Jesus. See, the Bible tells us that the things of this world will fade away. They will leave. They're not eternal. But for some of these things we look at as a necessity, they're really just clutter. They're taking up time. They're doing things and kind of distracting us from what the real reason of being here is. Those things will fade away, but he is eternal. Amen. So maybe you need to reprioritize your lives in some way. Maybe you're spending too much time on some things and you need to reprioritize yourself to God. Maybe for the shepherds, they're saying, let's go. They got a job to do. But they're rearranging things in a new order of importance to prioritize again. A new order of importance. See, maybe you have a job and you're working too much. And you've been so, and listen, the job's important, but you're not making room for God, and you're wondering, why don't I have any awe and wonder? Maybe you're homeschooling your kids, and you're just like literally losing your mind, and you have to step away to reprioritize some things so that you can get your heart right and have the awe and wonder of God. For the shepherds, it was watching sheep, but for us, it could be a variety of things. Where does spending time with other Christians who are wanting to be excited about God, where does that land on your priorities? Where does spending time in God's word end up in your priorities and of importance? If you're struggling, let me just say, let's encourage each other to reprioritize our lives. The second thing I have for you is if you want to capture maybe for the first time the awe and wonder of Christmas, you got to get fresh eyes. You got to get fresh eyes. For children, psychologists they've said, I just read this recently, that the first emotion that a child has in a healthy home, the first feeling, the first emotion is wonder. It's wonder. It's not happiness. It's not anger or sadness. The real, true emotion they feel, the first one is wonder. Wonder. Our brains are amazed by all the things we discover when we're younger, and you can see it in the eyes of children. That's why when you see a young baby, right, and they're all like, oh, do, do, wah, da, da, and they're pointing at things, right? It's like, yes, honey, I see that. It is a green porta potty. But I've seen the green porta potty. I know what a porta potty looks like. But for my little one, it's like, wow, it's the first green porta potty she's ever seen. She is full of awe and wonder at the green porta potty. And I'm like, hey, man, I've been there. I've done that. What are you talking about? That's so boring. For a kid, they're full of awe and wonder. Would you look at that? Their brains are amazed. They're an absolute wonder. It's because they have fresh eyes. But when you have old eyes, you have the been there, done that. That's why we have no awe and wonder. When we look at these shepherds, this was an amazement for them. They were in awe and wonder. Why? Because they'd never seen it before. They've never heard. This is amazing. God came down. He's a baby. We got to see this. They had fresh eyes. But for you and I, we're hearing this Christmas story, right? We've heard it 1,000 times. But how many of you, when you first got saved, you were full of awe and wonder? When you first got saved, you're like, this is unbelievable. My life is changed. It's radically changed. Or maybe you grew up in the church, and when it first became real to you, you're like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. And you're not alone in this, because King David even talked about it in the Psalms. He said, restore to me the joy of your salvation. There's something that happens that we lose, but when we hear King David say, please restore to me that awe and wonder, that joy of your salvation. Restore to me and bring that to me, because I want to have awe and wonder again. Amen? I believe Jesus gave us the solution to this problem in Matthew 18. Matthew 18, in verse 2, you probably know the story. He called a little child to him and placed the child among them. Matthew 18, verse 2. Verse 3, he said to them, truly, I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever takes the lowly position of a child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Isn't it interesting that Jesus is encouraging us to be like children? But think about it again with the Christmas morning. You're walking up while your kids are walking in, and you know, they wake you up at the crack of dawn. I don't know, sometimes even before the sun comes up, because they thought they heard something. And they're jumping on your bed. It's Christmas morning. Yay, it's Christmas morning. And you're like, dear God, I need a coffee and a lobotomy. You know? you're not full of the joy. They are. They're full of awe and wonder. You're full of boringness. But they're full of it because they're full of that awe and wonder because it's fresh. It's new. See, Jesus knew what he was talking when he encouraged us to become like little children. He wanted us to see him with fresh, new eyes. Because Jesus knew what it was like to have old eyes. You know those Pharisees we talk about? They had old eyes. They were trying to tell Jesus what he was supposed to do. But these children were just taking in awe and wonder of who he was. And isn't it interesting that new eyes are taking Jesus in for who he is, but old eyes are trying to tell Jesus who he is? I've heard that story. Yeah, I know this. I already know this. But I believe Jesus is saying to us that we need to humble ourselves to become like little children once again. I recently heard the reason why our brains start to die off, for lack of a better term, aside from diseases like Alzheimer's and dementia, the reason why our brains start to not work as well is because we stop using them. We're no longer curious. We know everything. We're no longer, you know, wanting to think about things. We're not stimulated by things. We get to the point where we're like, hey, I know everything I need to know. Our brain falls asleep and it literally dies. But for a child, when they have these new experiences, their neurons are going off a million miles an hour because it's all new. It's all new. They have fresh eyes. But when you stop being amazed, you stop being surprised, you stop being curious, your brain starts to crumble. That's why Jesus is calling us through him to humble ourselves and to become like little children again. You know, because we want to know, there's something secure in knowing everything, right? Oh, I know that, I know the truth about that, I know the truth about this, and I know the truth about that. But where's the wonder? Where's the mystery? Have you ever seen God do something amazing and you're like, I can't figure that out? But then you try going to look for reasons why. What if we just said, I don't know? Why are there so many people that are writing books and trying to say exactly who God is When we look at the early Christians who didn't even have the New Testament and were just like, I love God, I just want to follow him. Listen, the word of God is important, but we need to not lose that awe and wonder of saying, dude, you're God, I don't know. I don't know, and I'm going to stop pretending like I do. I know this stuff. This stuff's important, but there's some mysteries that I don't know. There's some things that I don't know. And when people ask you, I don't know. I don't know. That's the amazing part of it. He's God. I'm not. I don't want to lose that. I want to have fresh eyes. I don't want to get stuck in this trap of saying, I know everything. I know that Jesus came as a baby. I know that he died for our sins. I know that he was raised from the dead and he did that for us. I know that he's the God of the universe and he's the one true God. But there's some stuff that we just have to say, God, give me fresh eyes again. Let me look at the story as if I never even heard it. I believe that through Christ we can do this. We can have that childlike awe and wonder when it comes to God, specifically this Christmas story. And instead of acting like, yeah, I already knew that. Why not ask God for new eyes? Why not act like we don't know anything? Why don't we use our imagination? Put ourselves in the shoes of these shepherds for a moment. Or Mary and Joseph, recapture that awe and wonder by humbling ourselves, saying, God, I don't know, but I want to know it again in a fresh new way. Will you speak to me? There's something humbly that, about humbling ourselves, going into the presence of God, saying, I know nothing, where he can speak to you and he can give you. That's fresh eyes. See, the Pharisees had old eyes, like I said. They already knew everything. Couldn't tell them anything. And Jesus kept breaking things down. Like, you can't work on the Sabbath. Oh, yeah, I can. I'm God. Oh, shoot. He likes to play that card all the time, doesn't he? You can't do that. Isn't that weird that we do that? Why do we do that? Something is, it's a false sense of security to say, listen, I know God. But I don't know everything about him. And that keeps me longing to want him more. But there's a false sense of security that says, I know everything about God. I know everything. I could show you this book and this book and this book and look at all this. You know, you could go that route. But I'd rather go the route of saying, I am just in awe and wonder of who he is. And I don't know everything. There's something he does in that, isn't there? And I'm sorry, as your pastor, as one of your pastors, that I'm telling you there's things I don't know. But it's the truth for all of us. And that's why we chase after him. That's why. So keep that in mind of these new eyes. So we talked about reprioritizing. We talked about having fresh eyes like a child. And the third one here, finally, is worship. Worship. See, the natural reaction to awe and wonder is to worship. How can this be? Is this serious? Then you're like, that's amazing. How many of you watch one of those shows like America's Got Talent? You know, you're watching those shows and you see something amazing happen. This guy is juggling chainsaws while baking in an easy bake oven and he's kicking a dead horse. It's crazy. I've never seen it before. You know, it's always something, wow. And you say that. You say that. Wow. Right? That's a form of worship. Wow. It's a natural reaction when you're seeing something you've never seen before to go, whoa. The same goes for watching a sport. For those of you who watch sports and you see something you've never seen before, whoa. Or ladies or guys, when you're watching a cooking show and they do something like a little trick, you're like, I've never seen that before. I've been alive for 45 years. I've never seen them do that. Boom, mind blown. Wow. And then you go and tell all your friends. There's something about it that makes us be excited. Wow. Not just like, wow, oh, I never saw that before. No, wow. In Luke 2:20, the shepherds returned. It says they were glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which is just as they've been told. They were in a wow moment. This is amazing. God, you're amazing. They had awe and wonder. They were glorifying and praising God as a result of being wowed. This is what God wants for us, to be wowed and amazed that we're praising and glorifying him. It's a natural reaction, because the reason why we're dull, or shall I say bored, is because we've missed something in the Christmas story. Have you ever watched a football game with your friends? You're at the house, you know, you're at a house, you got the TV there, everybody's huddled around, and you know, you start, I want a little snack, I want to get a drink from the fridge, and you're looking at it, you're watching, you're like, this seems like a good time to get up and get something, right? Nothing's gonna happen. So, you know, you're like, this is the moment I've been waiting for. So you get up, you're kind of watching the screen as you walk out of the living room. You go over into the next room, and as soon as you're opening the fridge, you hear, "Woo! Yeah! Wow!" And you're like, you scurry back in. They're all jumping up and down, and you're like, "What happened? What happened?" They're amazed because they saw it, but you're sitting there going, "Where? What? What happened?" And even when there's a replay, Kirk, even when those happened, you weren't there. You didn't see it. So you're not full of the awe and amazement because you weren't there. You missed it. Because of that stupid drink that you thought you needed. It was an interception. This has happened to me more times than once. And all your friends are full of amazement. They're jumping up and down, giving high fives. And you're just kind of, "Oh, okay, I didn't see it. I'm still looking for the replay. What happened?" Feeling like an idiot. But see, this is what happens. This is what happens is we missed it. We've missed the great play of the Christmas story. That's why you're not full of the awe and wonder and amazement and wonder, because you missed it. In closing, I want to do an exercise. I'm wrapping up. Look at that. In closing, if you'll stand with me, I want to do a little exercise. I feel like for many of us here in this room, maybe you're watching online, this is for you too, but I feel like God doesn't want us to miss it. And worship is that natural reaction, like it comes from reprioritizing, it comes from humbling ourselves and saying, "God, will you just show me this afresh?" But we have to take out the things that right now, even in this room, right now, parents, don't worry about where your kids are at right now. They're fine, I hope. Guys, don't be thinking about what you're missing in the woods right now, because trust me, they ain't coming out till like 4 o'clock anyway. Maybe you're worrying about what you're going to cook for dinner, or you're thinking about what you have to do for work tomorrow, or what else. Let's reprioritize our lives right now. Just close your eyes with me and just say to God, "Here I am, right here, right now. I am in awe and wonder of you. Lord, right now I'm reprioritizing my life, my mind, and I'm getting back to where I need to be, and it's with you. Lord, let you be the first priority in my life. Let you be the first thing, the top of importance of my life, God. In this Christmas season, Lord, would you be the top priority of the things? Although I have things to do, Lord, I want you to be number one. Also, we need new eyes. We need fresh eyes. So right now, just forget everything and use your imagination. Forget you know nothing about the Christmas story. Forget it all. Forget it all. Just pretend like you don't know. Pretend like maybe you're a first century a Jew, or you're sitting there now and you're like, "I don't know what's going on. I don't know where I am." Picture yourself where you have no hope. You have no joy. In fact, You're just an empty being because there's no joy and hope in your life. There's no, you've been waiting for a Savior for so long, you just don't think he's ever going to come. So right now, as you're there, just ask God to fill you with that awe and wonder. So now that we've reprioritized and now that we've asked God to give us new eyes, I want you to picture with me this. The God who created the entire universe. He created the stars in the sky, the sun and the moon. He created all of the planets that we can't even find yet. He created them. He created the vast oceans, the gorgeous mountains, the plains. He created the valleys and the hills. He created this thing called gravity and oxygen to keep you alive. In this complexity of this world, he created it. And then this God created out of the dirt. Out of the dirt, he brings humankind. His own image, he created them. But he wouldn't force them to love him. He wouldn't do that. It's his beloved creation. He couldn't force them to love him. He just wanted them to love him. He wanted them to cherish him. He wanted them to be in awe and wonder of them. But they turned their backs on God. They chose sin over God. They chose their self over God. And because of that, there was this enormous separation between God and his beloved. There's this chasm that's so far between him and those that he created out of the dirt, that he created in his own image, that he just wanted to be with them. He just wanted to be with them so desperately, but they screwed up. So this God, who created the entire universe and holds every molecule in his hands, desperately wanted to be with his people. So he devised a plan. A humble, and some would even say humiliating plan. He would use the same people that turned their backs on him. And he would come down to earth and take the form of that creation that he created that also turned their backs on him. And God, then that same creation he created, he became. And he didn't come as an adult, although he could. He took the lowly position of a poor child. He took on that same experience of his creation that they created, the turmoil that they're in. He took that same position. And he became this baby. Such a humiliating thing to do. Who would do that? Who would do that? The creator of the universe, a lowly human. But he did that. He did that for you. Because he so desperately wanted to be with you. He came as a little baby so that he could then grow older just to die a humiliating death on a cross for things he didn't do, but he did it for you on your behalf. And because of that sin that you and I both chose, it kept us from God, and he took that sin for you so that chasm would no longer be there so he could dwell with his people. He did that for you forever and ever and ever. Father, we're just coming humbly this morning saying, God, give us new eyes. Let us be in amazement of wonder of this amazing story that you did. It's so crazy that there's no way somebody could make this up. But you did, Lord. And Lord, if I was God and I did things my way, I surely wouldn't have done it that way. But again, God, that's why you are God and I'm not. So Lord, we stand this morning in awe, in wonder. And Lord, let it not stop here. Let us not stop this day when we come outside and we say, well, been there, done that, but we walk outside with fresh eyes and a reprioritized mind that's saying, we're going to do things with you first. Thank you, Lord. Would you just say thank you to him this morning? You know, with what Margaret said, I just want to make it open. If you've never made that thing, like maybe this year, me telling you this story is the first time that it really became amazing to you. I'm just going to ask, if that's you, all you have to do is this. Listen, say, I'm sorry, Lord, for the sins that I've done. I have chosen wrong. But Lord, I accept the price you paid. I thank you for coming as you did. But Lord, thank you for that. And I want to make you the God of my life. And I want to follow after you and the things you have for me. Because he did it so he could be with you. He did it so you could have freedom. He did it so that you can have a life that's full of wonder and purpose for him. But he also did it so he could be with you. So he could dwell with you. And that's something so amazing. The creator of the universe wants to hang out with you. Wants to be in your presence. Wants to be around you. So if you've done that this morning, please tell somebody before you leave. It's a heart commitment. It's a heart decision. Lord, here we are afresh, saying we're in awe and wonder of you. I'd like Pastor Scott to sing that song that he wrote, by the way. The song that he wrote, it's that wonder. And maybe for you, maybe you haven't gotten there yet, just position yourself in a way. Maybe you want to kneel, maybe you want to sit down, whatever it is. But position yourself in a way, physically and emotionally, spiritually, just that you can receive something from him afresh this morning.
God of wonder, by your word the world was made. God of wonder, in the stars your power displayed. God of wonder, in the manger lying humbly on the hay. Lift our eyes high in wonder. God of wonder, oh, the mystery of your ways. God of wonder, come replace our fear with faith. God of wonder, hanging broken on a cross, amazing grace. Lift our eyes high in wonder. Lord, lift them high, high in wonder. Be magnified, lifted high, high in wonder. God of wonder, even death could not contain. God of wonder, burn inside us like a flame. God of wonder, you are coming and forever you will reign. Lift our eyes high in wonder. Oh Lord, lift our eyes, lift them high, high. Lord, glorified, glorified, lifted high, high in wonder, magnified, glorified, lifted high, high in wonder.
Yes, Lord. Lord, here we are once again. We're lifting you high. Be magnified, Lord. Lord, when I think of that word magnified, it really is that reprioritizing of our lives. Lord, we want to put you ahead. We want you to be magnified. We want you to be the thing that sticks out. Lord, in our lives, would you do that to us today? Lord, would you again come afresh? Lord, I pray for anyone that's here that is still struggling in this area. There will be prayer for you if that's something that you need this morning. There will be people up front to pray for you. Or maybe you're just here for some other reason. And you know, it could be that some of the awe and wonder is stripped from you because of some of the things that have happened to you. But I believe that the Lord, the message is, I believe that the Lord is calling us to capture for the first time the awe and wonder of Christmas. So Lord, we're just so thankful for what you've done and what you're going to do this Christmas season. Lord, I'm thankful for this church. I'm thankful for these people. And I'm praying, Lord, that all of us would be full again with awe and wonder. In the name of Jesus. We all said, amen, amen, amen.